Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry.
Richmond, Virginia. Good God Almighty.
Bishop Hezekiah Walker said it is going to get better. Good God Almighty, it might be good right now, but even if it's good, it's going to get better. If things are bad, it's going to get better. If you don't understand where you're at right now, I've come to tell you tonight that it's going to get better. Amen. To God be the glory. We thank you for tuning in. Praise God. Coming past. Glory to God. If you hear this broadcast later in the week, I still want to let you know it's a right now word. It's going to get better. To God be the glory. Amen. Tonight you're going to find me tonight in the book of Hebrews. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, I believe that it's going to get better. Amen. Chapter 3, I'm going to begin at the first verse. Let's just get right into the word of God. Is that all right? Amen. We thank you once again for tuning in. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says, wherefore, holy brethren. Now, they're not just talking to the males. They're not talking to men. When they say holy brethren, they're talking to the children of God. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Let me say something as we lay this foundation. You don't have to be called to preach. The heavenly calling is for you to have salvation. If you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost today, we need to understand that God has called you. He's called you to be a child of God. It's a heavenly calling because it can only come from Him. So he calls us holy, heavenly calling of holy brothers and sisters. Praise God. I'm not going to stay long there, but can I tell you something about being holy? Holiness does not come from your works. Holiness does not come from your religious practices. Holiness comes from the blood of Christ. Once it's applied to your life, you have become holy. Now, there are three stages, I must say that, three stages of holiness in the life of a human. When you come to God and get saved, that's a type of holiness. That holy is consecration. It means to be set apart. See? Now, you become set apart when you come to God. That's what makes you holy, because you've come to God. Now, in that first stage of holiness, you are separated from people of the world, people that have not received Jesus Christ. That's what the first stage of holy is. Now, after that, you have a second stage of holiness. And that holiness is what they call it progressive. It's a progressive holiness. In the progressive holiness, it's where you consecrate yourself. It's when you sanctify yourself. And the word sanctify means to set apart. So as you get salvation and come to God, you begin to set yourself apart. Can I give scripture for that? Amen. Come on, somebody. 2 Corinthians 5, it says that when we come to God, I'm not believing to make it easy to obtain. It says that therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And that word creature means creation. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. See, they don't happen overnight. You may get saved and feel the same way you felt when you was a sinner. But you got to know that some things passed away. Can I tell you what has passed away? You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That's what they mean, old things are passed away. The old regime, the old God that lorded over you is no longer lording over you. Now you have the blood applied and Jesus Christ lording over you. All things are passed away. Watch what it says next. Behold, that means look, all things become new. Now, in the becoming new is the progressive holiness that connects with the first stage of holiness, which is salvation. That's something new. You weren't saved before. We were on our way to a Christless hell. But when we receive Jesus Christ, What becomes new is you're in the kingdom of God. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that when they say all things become new, that's the first and foremost thing they're talking about. Now, second thing, and all things becoming new, they're talking about your life. They're talking about your lifestyle. They're talking about your heart. They're talking about your mind. Those pass away. Why? Because you are beginning to learn a new life. The Bible declares that from the sincere milk of the word, we may grow thereby. See? So as you being obeyed from the beginning, hallelujah, you will begin to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior. So all things become new because you begin to learn. Some learn faster than others. Some get healed faster than others. Some get delivered faster than others. See, some get consecrated faster than others. But it's not your consecration level in this second stage of holiness that makes you holy. You already become holy when you come to God. You become part of that holy lump. See what I'm saying, people of God? Now, as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the second stage of holiness, it's for your whole lifetime. You will never become, quote, unquote, holy. Can I explain the word holy to you? Holy is a word that's to describe the character of God. Holy is the character of God. Our second stage of holiness, we are pressing toward the mark of becoming like God. But you can live your whole life. You can live 100 years, 150 years with the grace of God. You will never become the holiness of God. Not in the second stage of holiness. I'm just laying foundation tonight. So in that second stage of holiness, no matter how dedicated you are, no matter how you push into God, there's only a certain stage of holiness that you can reach. Well, why is that? Because you have flesh. Flesh and blood should not inherit the kingdom. Your soul inherits the kingdom, not your flesh. So as you learn to live and as you make mistakes and as you praise God and grow, you still never make it to the holiness of God. In that second stage of holiness. So, what am I saying? It's an awesome thing to consecrate yourself. It's an awesome thing to fast and pray and seek God's face. Turn from your wicked ways. All those things are awesome. This is what we should do as Christians. But the furthest you can reach in the second stage of holiness is a personal consecration that helps your faith and your confidence in God. Now, that third stage of holiness, which is the final stage where you can become holy like God, it happens in 2 Corinthians 5. Let me give you the right scripture now. 1 Corinthians 15:54. We should not all sleep, but we should be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trump of God, for we shall be changed. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we be with the Lord. Know why? Because that corruptible shall put on incorruption. See, when you leave this fleshly body and be translated into the eternal body, then you will become holy like God because you'll be in his presence. You'll meet the Lord in the air. Or either if you go home to meet the Lord prior to that, the Bible declares absent in the body is present with the Lord. When you get present with the Lord, you then now you're holy. So don't I don't want you to struggle in your mind. I don't want you to worry about religious people that's judging how much further you have grown in holiness. No one has the holiness of God. The word holy describes the character of God. But yet he calls us holy. You know why? Because he sees us at the end. He doesn't see you where you're at. He sees you where he's calling you. He sees you in your final stage. So that's why he says, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. He asks us to do something. He said, consider the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Consider Jesus. What should you consider? What should I consider? We should consider that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured even the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So they're showing us, consider him. The Bible also declares that Jesus Christ, he armed himself. And the Bible tells us to arm ourselves likewise. See, it gives us instructions, even though this is not what Bible means, but it's a very churchy saying, basic instructions before leaving earth. It is the truth, because that's what the Bible is. It's basic instructions before you leave in earth. That's not what Bible means. The word Bible means the book. But it's okay. Use that illustration to inspire you to move on. We want to move on. We want to go on unto perfection. So that's a big thing. But he asks us to consider our high priest and the profession. See, the high priest of our profession. What are you professing today? What are you speaking today? See, he's already putting us in the category that we're talking right. See, and a lot of us Christians, we're not talking right all the time. When things go wrong, we don't talk right. When we have fear, we don't talk right. When somebody get on our nerves, we don't talk right. But that's your profession, as it's supposed to be. He said, consider the high priest. And your profession will line up with the high priest. What does he want us to consider? He said in verse 2, consider the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. See? Profession of our faith, verse 2, who was faithful. Some things, glory to God, God is looking for faithfulness. He's not looking for perfection, but he's looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness to what you've learned. Faithful to what you believe. Faithful to where you're going. Faithful to who he called you to be. You got to know that you know that you know what he said about you and be faithful to that. And you got to speak accordingly. He said Jesus Christ was faithful to him that appointed him. Once you understand your life is an appointment, your life is not something to glorify, your life is not something for you to magnify yourself, your life is not something for you to enjoy, because you connected with God and you love the presence of God so much that you're so caught up in you enjoying God. He doesn't want that. That's not the profession. The profession is faithfulness to the call. Are you faithful to the call today? Are you faithful to what he appointed you to do today? Are you faithful to who you are appointed to be? He said not just Jesus that died on the cross, but Moses was a natural man, and he was faithful in all his house. Glory be to God. That means his life meant nothing no more. What meant something in his life was the appointment that God set upon him. Amen? The appointment that God set upon him. So they began to talk about Jesus Christ. And they talked about and said, for this man, Jesus Christ, was counted worthy. Was counted worthy. We thank God that Jesus was worthy, but they mentioned Moses as well. They mentioned Moses as being counted worthy. See? Now, what that means is it wasn't so much of what he done that made him worthy. It's that he was faithful to the appointment. Well, the reason why, that's why God counted him worthy. I want to let you know today, people of God, if you pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, if your heart is right, if you're trying your best, God will count you worthy. He'll, even in your shortcomings, he'll count, he consider and count you worthy. Your worthiness is not your strength. Your worthiness is not your strength. The reason why he counts you worthy is because you are faithful to the call. See? That's what makes you worthy. Is that you are faithful to him that called you. And a lot of times there's a lot of things in life that will cause us not to be faithful to the call. It's a lot of things that you'll go through. And you won't be faithful to the call because you'll consider yourself. And what he was saying is, Jesus and Moses did not consider themselves. They didn't consider themselves. They considered the call. They considered the appointment. See? Now, are you considering that? He says, Jesus was faithful to him that appointed him. He said, this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, because his call was stronger than Moses' call. Jesus' call was different from Moses. They were both men of God, but the call was different. And that's what we have to understand about children of God. We're all children of God, but the call is different. The faithfulness won't change, but the considering of Jesus that called them, it will change according to who you are. So you can't look at somebody else and wonder if they're faithful to the call because you don't know what God called them for. Amen. Let me move on. Is that all right? Watch what he says. He says that Jesus was counted more worthy and got more glory than Moses, in as much as he who have built the house have more honor than the house. You got to understand that no matter how well a job you do, somebody else got to get more honor. And if you ain't giving God the glory, and God ain't getting more honor than you trying to get, then we have a problem. Glory to God. Because Jesus, God, Holy Ghost, should always have more honor than us. If you're looking for honor from people, you're going to miss it. If you're looking for honor from the church, you're going to miss it. He said, he who built the house have more honor than the house. Let me tell you something. He built you for what you have to go through. So I want to encourage somebody tonight. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You're built for it. He won't put more on you than you can bear. Whatever happens in your life, you built for it. Just be faithful to him that called you. Hallelujah. And you are built to take it. You are built to make it. Because he who built the house has more honor than the house. But here is the catch. Here's the catch right here. He said every house is built by some man. You gotta catch the paradox. Because though he's saying every man every house is built by some man. It's a paradox. Because you didn't build you. So you got to catch that. That's why he said in the verse prior that he built the house. And he that built the house had more honor. But then he turned around and says, every man, every house is built by some man. You know what that means? You have a will. He's talking about you have a self-will. You have the right to make decisions. You have a right, glory be to God, to live that as you choose to live. And however you live in, whatever you're doing, glory to God, you are building a house. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, let every man take heed to what he builds. If you build upon that foundation, wood, hay, clay, stubble, guess what? Every man's work shall be tried by fire to see what sort it is. So even though he built the house, he's letting you build a house inside the house. Come on, somebody. He said everything, every house is built by some man. But, see the but after it? I hope you got your Bibles open. You see the but after it? But he that built all things is God. So you can build a house, but you still ain't over the house. Hallelujah. You can build a house, but you still don't have control of the house. You can build a house, but you still don't have authority over the house. You can build a house, glory be to God. But it's a house with somebody got authority that's bigger than the house you build in. Is that all right tonight, people of God? He said, but it's God that built all things. Meaning that God will help you build the house because he's the master builder. To God be the glory. It goes on in verse 5 to say about Moses. It says Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant. If you're building something and it takes away your position as a servant, if it takes away your heart as a servant to God, you start rising up in pride and thanking God for who you are and what you're doing. Guess what? He said Moses was service was faithful in his whole house as a servant. We will never achieve anything higher than being a servant to God. Yes, we are a friend of God. Yes, we are brethren. Yes, we are partakers of the Holy Ghost. Yes, we are. We are part of who's been grafted to be sons of God. It does not appear to us what we shall be. We know that when we see him, we'll be like him. But let me tell you tonight, we are still servants. You have to keep a servant mindset. You have to keep a servant heart. You have to always serve God in all that we say or do. Moses was a servant for a testimony of those things which should be spoken thereafter. God has a plan. And if he chooses us to be a part of the plan, then we have to serve him. Is that all right? Y'all go with me to verse 6. Verse 6 says, but Christ, a son over his own house, whose house we are. He's a son over his own house. You're a son over your own house. See what I'm saying? Your son. If we hold fast, if we stay faithful, if we consider, if we acknowledge, if we look unto the hill from which comes our help, you'll keep that servant mindset, and that's what makes you a son over your own house. Because now you can go ahead and build. Anybody building tonight, anybody know that they're a son. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And now you can build. He says, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope unto the end. Don't you give up. Don't you let go. Don't you change your mindset. Don't you lose your faith. You got to hold on unto the end. Come on, somebody. To the end. Not giving. The race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. But they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So you have to hold on to the end. And he says, because I just said all of these things, That's what verse 7 says, wherefore. That means because of all the things I just said, because I just said that, as the Holy Ghost said. See? Glory to God. A son and a servant will listen to the Holy Ghost. And he said, because I said all of these things, wherefore, see, the Holy Ghost said, the day, if you will hear, if you will hear, what are we lending our ear to today? Why are you letting people speak in your ear? What conversations are you hearing? What music are you hearing? What television program are you hearing? There's nothing wrong with music and television. Don't get me wrong. I want you to follow me. There's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't make you saved or unsaved. But it could become a weight. It can weigh you down. Listening to the wrong thing can make you depressed. Listening to the wrong thing can get you angry. Listening to the wrong thing can block your praise. But what are you hearing today? He said, if you will hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. Everybody ain't hearing it. Some people aren't trying. But if you hear the Holy Ghost, harden not your heart. You know what he means? Don't. He means obey it. Glory to God. If you hear God, obey God. If you believe God spoke, obey him. Come on. If you heard the Holy Ghost, let him lead you to carry it out. Don't harden your heart. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Don't fight against the Holy Spirit. If you hear him speaking, obey him and yield to the Holy Ghost. If you hear my voice, he said, harden not your heart. You don't want to be where God can speak and you still won't listen. It's one thing if you didn't hear God. But if you hear God, don't harden your heart. As in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness. He's talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And God, he ain't only speak. God showed them. He rained food from heaven. He got water from the rock. He opened up the Red Sea. Hallelujah. He closed it up on their enemies. They had to hear God. But they hardened their heart. They began murmuring. They began complaining. They wasn't satisfied. And God was grieved with that generation. He was grieved with them. But he said, glory be to God. If you hear me, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness. When all the fathers, they tempted God. They proved him and saw his works 40 years. They made God deal with them a certain way. And you don't want to make God deal with you. You want to obey God. You want to hear God. But I'm telling you today, people of God, when you harden your heart against what God is saying, you will force God to deal with you. Somebody say amen in your house. Say amen right where you at. You don't want to make God deal with you. Hallelujah. You want to hear him when he speaks. They tempted him. Proved him and saw his works. He said, because of that again, is that word wherefore? Is that word wherefore again? Wherefore? This is God talking. I was grieved with that generation. And I said in my heart, this is God talking. Because they would not yield to the Spirit. He said, I was grieved with that generation. And I said, they do always err in their heart. I got to stop there. He said, they err in their heart. Do you know God is not mad if you think he's saying something and you're wrong? If you think God is saying something and you do, or you act according to what you think he's saying, God won't get mad at you because you erred in hearing him. But if you err in your heart, y'all ain't talking to me. If you hear it in your heart and you still decide to err, to go the other way, that's what God was grieved at. He said they always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. If you walk in an error, you're not going to get to know God. If you walk in an error, you're going to think the devil is God. You're going to hear a lie and believe a lie, halabo shada, rather than the truth. Because you live in an error. You're walking in error. You're walking in our own minds and in our own ways. Glory be to God. Thank God that we're not there no more. Ain't that all right? Tell God, thank you that I've changed. Thank you that I'm listening. Thank you that I love you. Thank you that I praise you. Thank you that I'm getting close to you. Thank you that I'm getting familiar with your voice. You're giving the things we ought to give God praise for. Because we don't want to be in error. But if we are yielded in error in our heart, it's all right. But if you err in your heart from disobedience, then God has a problem. And he said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Your whole life will be tormented. Nothing will go right for you. Everything you do will fail. Because know why? You are erring in your heart. You have not brought your heart to the place to say yes for real. You say yes on Sunday. You say yes when you're quoting the scripture. You say yes when you're talking about the Bible. But in your heart, there's an error. Hallelujah. We don't want that, people of God. He said, take heed. See verse 12? Take heed. Take heed. Glory be to God. That means get real with yourself. Stop acting like you know God and you know you ain't spent no time to seek him. You ain't spent no time in the word. You don't get on your knees and pray. You have to take heed where your heart is. Take heed who you are. See, he said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in you. When you take heed, you'll find out what's inside you. A lot of people don't take heed because they don't want to admit what's inside of them. So they try to praise God over what's inside. You can't do it. You have to go ahead and just yield. Halabashanda. You can't just keep going. See, that's why people don't take heed, because they have no intentions on hearing God. They have no intentions on lining up with God. Glory be to God. We all have to grow step by step, day by day. Good God Almighty. But when you're taking heed to your heart, taking heed to your ways, taking heed to your mind, glory be to God. Everything that, everything may not be right, but you'll work on it. Hallelujah. You will work on you and not look at other people. That's why so many people in the church are watching everybody, talking about everybody, because they don't want to look at themselves. Halabashanda. So they look at other people. But if, when you take heed to your own heart, now God is ready to bless you. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say right where you at, I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. He said, take heed, lest there be in you. See, he's talking about yourself. He ain't talking about nobody else. Don't be taking heed of everybody else. Don't take heed of anybody else. Take heed at yourself. He said, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. An evil heart. Do you know what an evil heart do? If God ever show you for sure somebody got an evil heart, get away from them, because they mean you no good. They don't mean God any good. Glory to God. If they have an evil heart, glory be to God. Then the love of God that shed abroad, as the Bible says, in our heart. God can shed the love of God through them because their heart is evil. You got to have your heart right with God. I'm not talking about you got to be strong and perfect and dot every I and cross every T, but your heart got to be right. Hallelujah. He said, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Let me tell you something. You cannot stand on God, believe God, have faith in God when your heart ain't right. Love everybody tonight, but I'm trying to help us all of us. We need to have a heart check. We need to get our heart right so that we can be right with God. Amen? Amen. An evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Let me tell you something. If your heart ain't right, you're going to have a hard time walking with God. If your heart ain't right, you're going to have a hard time living for God. If your heart ain't right, you're going to have a hard time living holy. How about you got to have a heart fixed and a made up mind. And if your heart is not fixed, you're going to struggle in your walk with God. And no, it's not because who's around you. It's not because what somebody did to you. It's because your heart ain't right. You can't walk with him. Hallelujah. Till your heart get right. He says, in departing from the living God. When your heart ain't right, you will leave God for whatever reason you choose to leave him for. And then you'll come back when you want to come back. He says, but exhort one another, people of God. That's what I'm doing tonight. I am not rebuking. I'm not reproving. I'm exhorting us. I'm exhorting us to yield further to God. I'm exhorting us to say yes to God. I'm exhorting to your heart to let it break. It's not so much in this world that you have to hold on to, that you won't yield your heart over. He said, exhort one another. Don't tear one another down. Don't talk about one another. Exhort one another while it's called today. You may save somebody's life if you exhort them rather than rolling your eyes at them. If you exhort them rather than sucking your teeth at them. If you exhort them, come on, rather than down in their name, you just might save their soul. He said, exalt one another while it's day, while it's called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitful lust, through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, people of God, sin means to miss the mark. Sin means to miss God. And if you miss God, your heart, the more we miss God, the harder your heart gets. And we don't want a hardened heart. See, a person that has a soft heart toward God will exalt the worst sinner. They'll help the worst sinner. They'll love the worst person. They'll love the church person that's struggling, that's still fighting their way to church and struggling with something on the outside of church. The right heart will exhort them. If a brother been overtaken in a fault, Galatians 6:1 says, he which is spiritual, talking about he that have a yielded heart, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider in itself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen. Amen. Let us exalt one another daily, why it's called today. See, let us seek them, encourage one another. He says, because you were made a partaker. If you're not sinning right now, if you've grown in grace, if God is using you, it's not because you chose. The Bible declares that it's God who will, who do, and will to do good pleasure. Anything that we do, it's because God calls us to do good. It's because God led us into good. It's because God called your life to be good. He didn't call every life to be good. He called some lives to struggle. See? Praise God. So if you're not one that's struggling, you have to understand that we were made partakers of Christ. It was no goodness of our own. He made us. And if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, he goes right back again. So today, well, I said today, if you hear the Holy Ghost, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Some, when they had heard, still provoked God. People of God, some that heard. Some that heard. You know, the Bible declares that some heard the word as well as us. Watch what the Bible says. But the word, not being mixed with faith, profit them nothing. It didn't profit. So everybody that hear the word is going to have the same reaction or the same result. See? Because some of them, when they heard the word, rather than rejoicing and growing in it, they provoked God. He said, not all. He said, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, meaning that some people heard the word and obeyed, some didn't. I was talking tonight in love. Examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. That's what the Bible says. See if you're in the faith. The Bible also says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What side of the line are you on tonight? Are you hearing the word and blessing God? Or are you hearing the word and provoking God? It's a self-choice tonight. It's a self-choice tonight. And you want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You want God to say, I'm giving them grace. Because when they mess up, it's not their heart. It's their flesh. It's their mind. It's them growing. The Bible says that God's anger will not always chide with man. God will not always anger, will not always chide. Watch what the Bible says. For he remembers. He remembers that we are just flesh. See? Jesus Christ came in the flesh, people of God. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But the Bible says that he was even tempted on every side. You know why he was tempted on every side? So he can understand you and I. So that he can understand it don't happen overnight sometimes. Sometimes it do. But sometimes it does not happen overnight. Sometimes you have to keep pressing your way, people of God. Sometimes you're going to fall and have to get back up. But it said he was tempted on every side. Watch what it says. Yet without sin. Know why? He heard the Holy Spirit. His meat was to do the will of him that sent him. And you have to hear the Spirit because we need help. Satan is walking to and fro, says 1 Peter, seeking whom he may devour. We need help from the wiles of the devil, from the strategy of the devil, from the tricks of the devil. And we are not able to conquer him alone. Hallelujah. You need the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen, somebody? He says, not everybody that came out of the wilderness turned their back on him. So I want to encourage you today, people of God, no matter who turned their back on God, no matter who ain't walking right with God, no matter who ain't serving God, no matter who don't want to be saved, you can't be one of them. You have to be one, hallelujah, that considers the high priest. Hallelujah. You got to be one that's faithful to the call. Hallelujah. You have to remain one. Through thick and thin. You got to be determined to go all the way to the end. Amen, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory. Because the ones that grieve him, watch what he says in verse 17. He said, with whom he was grieved 40 years. Was it not with those that had sinned? Those that kept missing God. Those that wouldn't hear the Spirit. He said, that's the only reason that I was grieved. Because they would not hear me. Halabashanda. They wouldn't hear me. I'm getting in. I'm starting to close. I'm heading toward a closing. But is God speaking over and over and over to you today? Is God trying his very best to reach you today? Is God showing you stuff in your life that keep occurring to reach you today? He said, no, I wasn't grieved with people that, I was grieved with them that kept missing me. That's what sin means. They wouldn't line up with me. He said, I had no other choice. You don't want to make it where God has no other choice but to be grieved with us. He said, with them that kept missing God, and their carcass fell in the wilderness. Can I tell you something? Because God said all didn't do it, that lets us know that God will keep you in your wilderness experience. What is a wilderness experience? A wilderness is where men and women of God are made. You can't be made when everything is so nice and rosy every day. You won't understand how to wait on God. You won't understand how to trust God. You won't understand, glory be to God, to praise him in spite of. Hallelujah. Because everything is always fine. When everything is fine, we don't pray. When everything is fine, we halfway praise. When everything is fine, we don't worry. We don't watch for the enemy. Because we get used to living with everything fine. Now that's a paradox right there. Because as long as you're in God, everything is fine. You see what I'm saying? As long as you're in God, everything is fine. But what I'm saying, if you don't go through no trials and tribulations and hard times, and you don't go through some things that get you kind of nervous a little, wondering, hallelujah, do you have this strength to wait on God? Is God going to make it in time? But that's what makes you strong. That's what makes you strong. When you wait in spite of. When you hold on in spite of. When it hurts and you still praise him. When you don't understand and you still pray. You still seek him. You don't want your carcass. The carcass is a body. You don't want to fall in the wilderness. You want God to make a water spring in the wilderness. You want God to bless you in the wilderness. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. The Bible declares none of their shoes got old. None of them were ill. They all had good health. None of them were hungry. God can keep you in the wilderness if your heart is right. If you hear the Spirit of God, no matter what you go through, glory be to God, he'll keep you. I hope, how many people know that today? I pray God you know today that he will keep you even in the wilderness. Come on, somebody. But if your heart isn't right, see, it's all according to our heart. You can fall in the wilderness. The wilderness experience can be your death. Or the wilderness experience can make you the man or woman of God. Don't you be afraid to go through the wilderness. Moses became who he was. He answered the call in the wilderness. running from murder. He was a murderer. He was running and running into the wilderness. Halabashanda. And God made him the man of God in the wilderness. Consider the Apostle Paul. He was on his way on the road to Damascus. A light shined from heaven, knocked him off his horse. The Spirit of God spoke to him and asked him a question. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He told him that it's hard to kick against the pricks. You know what that means? Rebellion. Halabasha. He told Paul, I got a great work for you. How about? I want you to write 14 books of the New Testament. But you can't do it in rebellion. Holla. Glory to God. He said, you can't kick against the prick. Psalm 91 says, glory be to God, that he will keep us in all of our ways. Unless we dash our foot against a stone or kick against the prick. Or rebel against him. He said, I'll keep you. I'll keep you in the wilderness. I'll keep you in the valley. I'll keep you on the mountain. I'll keep you in whatever you're going through. If you don't rebel. How about Shonda? So in the wilderness, he made Paul. Paul yielded his heart. He changed his name from Saul to Paul. God got a new name for you. He'll change that name that people are calling you. Glory be to God. He'll make you new. He made Paul a new man. And the first thing he did, Paul met him in the wilderness, and then he went into the wilderness. He went into the wilderness for the space of 3.5 years with the Arabians to be groomed. You have to go through something so you can tell yourself, I'm going to trust God. Hallelujah. You can tell yourself, I'm not giving up. You can tell yourself, I'm going to believe God won't fix it. Hallelujah. And those things occur in the wilderness. Can I use one more example tonight before I close? When Jesus came down here in the flesh, when it was time for him to start his ministry, he went to John the Baptist, who was in the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey, baptizing. Hallelujah. Jesus went in the wilderness to be baptized. When Jesus came straightway out of the water, the Bible declares that the heavens were opened. The Spirit of God descended. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. This was the most anointed time of Jesus' life. This was a confirmation from the voice of God and the Spirit of God. It confirmed he's in the will of God. And you know where God sent him? Into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You can't get around it, child of God. Don't think you're not saved because it happened. Don't think that God don't love you because it happened. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened. Ain't nothing strange about it. God has to make you. Halabashanda. And in the wilderness is where God breaks and makes. Sometimes you got to be break so he can make. I'm not supposed to say broke. Don't worry. I know that. I know English. But you got to break to be make. And sometimes he sends you into the wilderness to break you. How about Shonda? So he can make you. What a mighty God we serve. Come to tell you tonight, the last few minutes, you don't have to in the wilderness. You don't have to fall. But if you fall, because of our heart. And God made this statement in verse 18, where we're getting close to closing. God said it was to whom I swore that they shall not enter. You can't access a certain places in God with unbelief. He says, but to them that believe not. The last verse of this anointed chapter says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Child of God, I want to encourage you tonight. Halabo Shanda, please hear the voice of God. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care where you're at in your salvation. I don't care if you're wrong or if you're right. Don't lose your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. No matter what it seems like, keep your faith in your profession. Keep your faith in your confession. Keep your faith in the call. Because faith will bring you back. It's my last thing tonight. I think I got enough seconds to say it. Jesus told Peter, the devil desired to have you and sift you as wheat. He said, I prayed for you. And what he prayed was not an extra portion of anointing. He didn't pray, glory be to God, that he get revelation in the word, that he'll be able to spit it out. He said, I pray that your faith fail you not. That is my prayer tonight for you, people of God. I pray that your faith fail you not. God bless you. Once again, this is Bishop Thurman A. Butler, under Spirit of Truth Ministries, where we make you a champion. I'm going to be in your corner, because if it's in the Word, it's undisputed. 1921, Urban Road, in the city of Richmond, Virginia. God bless you. Come on back next week for another word. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a blessed night.